Thou shalt not kill. As we continue to look at the Ten Commandments as we do this series out of Egypt, in the Hebrew, it is literally, thou shalt not murder. And it's to be the shortest verse in the Old Testament. It sure has a lot of meaning and application behind it. And to fully understand it, we need to look at first what it does not mean, and then look at the literal interpretation and the many practical applications to today. Now, this commandment certainly forbids some things, but today it's kind of got twisted to mean things that God never intended. So we need to look at what this commandment does not forbid. First, let's look at the killing of animals. You know, activists quote this verse and say it's wrong for us to kill animals for any reason. But in this same chapter, down in verse 24, God gave instructions concerning the sacrificing of animals. In fact, all the way back to the Genesis 9, to 3 before the Ten Commandments, we find what God says about this. He says, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Don't become a vegetarian based upon this particular commandment. Jesus ate fish, and that wasn't sushi. He caught them, he killed them, and I believe that he never sinned, so he breaded them and he deep fried them. And if you're glad to be a step above the animals on the food chain, say amen. You know, yeah. A man was arrested for shooting a condor out in California, and he was taken before the judge, who was an animal rights activist. And everyone knew this guy was going to go to prison. And the judge said, yeah, you killed this rare bird, and my duty is clear. You know, but do you have anything to say for yourself before I pronounce your sentence? And the man said, yes, we were starving, and we hadn't eaten in weeks. And I'm out of work, and I'm too proud to accept government help. I'm ashamed of what I've done, but it was a matter of life and death for me and my children. And the judge said, well, I feel sorry for you. And since you killed it to eat, I'm going to let you go this time. And as the man walked out of the courtroom, the judge said, no, wait, I have to ask, what does a California condor taste like? And the man replied, it's not as sweet as a spotted owl, but it's tougher than a bald eagle. Now, there's a man who probably didn't know when to shut up. Second thing that it doesn't prohibit is capital punishment. The execution of criminals for the crime of murder is biblical, and it is not a sin. Exodus 21 and verse 12 says, he that smiteth a man so that he dies shall be surely put to death. The command was given before the Mosaic law was given. Back in Genesis 9:6, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Throughout the Word of God, this was never revoked. In fact, the New Testament book of Romans says legitimate government can carry out execution under the right circumstances. Romans 13, 1 and verse 4, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power of God, the powers that be ordained of God, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath. Some say, yeah, but capital punishment isn't a deterrent to crime. Well, first of all, it doesn't matter. You know, God said it, and that makes it so. But who are we then to question God's word? No, secondly, it is a deterrent. But here in America, capital punishment is no longer carried out swiftly and consistently. Only 1 in 1,000 murderers are ever executed. And then only after a decade or more of appeals then it happens. Let it be swift, let it be certain, let it be consistent. You know, plus it's always a deterrent to the man who did the murder. You know, he'll never do it again. And now if that sounds too harsh, you know, then we can argue, of course, about the scriptures that I've given to you. 70% of all violent crimes are committed by 7% of the male criminals. And how can this add up? Because it is these same men that committed violent crimes that do them over and over again. So the government comes up with this brilliant scheme called three strikes and you're out. That's about as ridiculous as giving your child to you count to three to decide to obey. You know, it's a promise in advance that you're not in big trouble yet. You know, on this topic, the Bible teaches one strike and you're out. Anytime a society backs off punishing its criminals, it's like a lamb defending the lion's right to eat. The National Center for Policy Analysis in Dallas, Texas, released a report a few years ago stating that the average prison stay for murderers in America is 1.8 years. Rapists, 60 days. Arsonists, 23 days. Career criminals are laughing at the judicial system of America. They don't fear God, they don't fear the law, and they have no fear of you, the law-abiding citizen. Government blames our violent crime problem on poverty and racism and lack of education and what nonsense. No, it's a moral breakdown, and so the system has broken down, and we err on the side of the criminal instead of the victim. Now, a third thing that it doesn't teach is self-defense. Exodus 22:2 says, if a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. I believe within this last week, or maybe last week and a half, here in this particular community, this particular item came up, and then it was decided because he was defending himself, defending his property, that he would not be prosecuted. According to the Bible, in the case of someone breaking into your home, threatening your life, if you kill them, a murder has not been committed. You know, I saw this sign in the front yard with a picture of a gun that read, forget the dog, beware the owner. No, when you outlaw citizens from having guns, the only people, of course, that will have guns are outlaws. I know that sounds pretty trite, but it is true. A fourth thing that it doesn't take away is the declaration of war. If the cause is just and noble, war is a terrible thing, and no one wants to go to war. No one wants to be in a war. But there are things much worse than war, like losing your freedom. And the Bible permits, and in many cases commands, us to go to war. The illustration of King David, who killed many people who attacked Israel, and God was with him as he did go. But when he killed one single innocent man, Uriah, God was much displeased, and he held him accountable for that. So what is the Bible talking about when it says, thou shalt not kill? Well, it is talking about, first, the intentional killing. First, like homicide. You know, tens of thousands are killed in America every year in cold blood. That's about 2 to 3 people every hour of every day. Look at the 5 biggest cities in the United States, and every year those 5 cities have more homicidal deaths than the entire running total of U.S. soldiers' deaths throughout the war on terror. How much PR do you get on that? We heard about this last week. I think it said the deadliest week in Afghanistan. Does anybody ever tell us this last week was the deadliest week in New York City or Chicago or Los Angeles? We don't hear those. Genesis 6:13, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. And Jesus said, that that's the way it was going to be before the end of this age, that we were going to see violence. Infanticide. In 1973, our nation made it okay for a mother to take the life of her unborn baby, and tens of millions have done so since. Around 1 million each year today. That's about 3,000 babies intentionally put to death every day. The mother isn't the only one involved. You know, the doctor who is sworn to preserve life invades her womb and kills her baby. Life begins at conception. This is an unarguable fact. In 1967, the first International Congress on Abortion was held in Washington, D.C., 6 years before the abortion became legal. At that conference, there were 60 major authorities from the fields of medicine, ethics, law, and the social sciences. And after several days of meetings, this was their official statement that was passed with only one dissenting vote. The majority of our group could find no point in time between conception and the birth of an infant at which point we could say that the fetus is not a human life. The changes occurring between implantation, a 6-week embryo, a 6-month fetus, and a 1-year-old child and a mature adult are mere stages of development. Now here's a weightier statement from God in Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. The Greek word for infant is brephos, and it is used 8 times in the Scripture. 6 times it is used for a child that is born. 2 times it is used for a child in the womb. And the point is that there's no difference. So why is abortion such a vicious sin of murder? Because the victim is unquestionably innocent. Because the victim is totally helpless. Because the order to kill comes from the victim's own protector. Because it is always calculated. It is premeditated murder. Because it is often painful. It even tortures the baby, being burned, crushed, or ripped apart. And it's always painful to the mother. Now, certainly in any group of people of any size, there is someone who has gone through this. And it's not to be trying to make a person feel guilty about something in their past. But our intent is to show what value God has placed upon a life. Now there is in the intentional killing, such as the indirect killing. You know, it's possible to be guilty of murder even if you don't pull a trigger. You know, David was labeled a murderer, though he only gave the order to have Uriah killed. There's a lot of indirect killing that's going on today, like the killing that goes on through the sale of alcohol and drugs. It's a secondary killing. A large percentage of murders involve controlled substances, most often alcohol. The same for suicides and traffic fatalities. You can rationalize it or try to explain it away, but these controlled substances are killers. Habakkuk 2:15 says, "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drink." There is the inward killing, and here's the Jesus commentary on the sixth commandment in Matthew 5:21-22. He says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment." Mark 7:21-23. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. 1 John 3:15 says, Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Well, this is maybe one of the toughest one of all. Have you ever wished someone dead? Have you ever even hated someone? No, Jesus said, you're guilty of murder. And our world today is full of hatred. You know, a racial and religious and revengeful hatred. A woman went to the doctor who told her that she had rabies, and they'd have to give her a series of shots so they might cure her, and it might not. Said, you know, you could die. And she began writing on a piece of paper frantically, and then he asked her, he said, is that your will? And she said, no, it's a list of people I'm going to bite. I believe her attitude was revengeful, and I think we move her over into that category that Jesus mentioned here. You know, Moses, David, and Paul. What do these three great people of the Bible have in common? They were all murderers, but they all turned to Yahweh. Some say that this is the only commandment that they've never broken. But as we've seen today, we've probably broken this one too. And what is the penalty for breaking it? Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I'm afraid that we're all murderers, and that's bad news unless you're a forgiven murderer. A pardoned murderer. Has the sin of murder been placed under the blood on your account? Four little words. Thou shalt not kill. But Jesus spoke four other little words many times. Even more powerful. He said, thy sins are forgiven.